Hello, Spanish wine fans, and welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the story of the Spanish wine revolution, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. In the last two episodes, we focused on two large and well-known wine regions from the Spanish region of Castilla-La Mancha, which is located basically in the center of the country, a bit to the south of Madrid. And we are talking about the massive D.O. La Mancha and the traditional D.O. Valdepeñas. Huge wine producers. La Mancha itself alone is considered to be the largest vineyard or group of vineyards in the world in terms of extension. Now, today in this third episode, we are going to give you a roundup of the remaining regions you find here. Many of them are not particularly well known compared to the big names, that is, but they have a lot to say and they have a lot of interesting wines to talk about, wines worth learning about, worth trying. So let me tell you about them today. Let's start with one of the more successful regions. This is D.O. Manchuela, which has been making wine for a long time. It is located in the eastern part of La Mancha, mainly in the province of Albacete, but also in Cuenca. Its vineyards are located at about 600 to 1100 meters above sea level. And as I was telling you before, it's been making wine for a long time. Now, for many, many years, the motor behind this industry was the sale of wine mainly in bulk, often abroad. It wasn't pretty, but it was the business of those times, and it sort of made sense. You didn't have to worry about bottling, marketing, distribution, and all that stuff that goes with making wine and selling it today. You just made the wine, sold it, and let someone else take care of all that. But things have changed quite a bit since then, and wine producers have had to adapt. D.O. Manchuela being one of them. It became a D.O. in 2000 and it has been steadily growing ever since. It's mostly known for its red wine made mainly from a grape variety with a funny name, Bobal, B-O-B-A-L. This is a highly productive grape variety. It is packed with tannins, making it good for aging and blending, especially with others like Tempranillo, which is also known as Sensibel, or Garnacha, or even some foreign varieties like Merlot, Syrah, and Cabernet. Manchuela has proven itself to be quite versatile, making excellent whites and rosés too, and even some sparkling wine, but the reds are its true claim to fame. And there's some really good stuff out there, so give it a try. If you go a little bit south of Manchuela, you come to a small region called Almansa, which is named after the town by the same name. Almansa is a historic town famous for being the site where the decisive battle of the War of the Spanish Succession in the early 1700s took place. That allowed Felipe V to become King of Spain. It also has a pretty castle, which is visible from the highway, just a nice town to look at, in addition to making some very good wine. Almansa is a region in the southwest corner of Albacete, though some of its vineyards, I believe, stretch into Valencia. Those vineyards are located between 700 and 1100 meters above sea level, and that helps keep the grapes from stressing out too much in those hot summer months. Almansa also makes mostly red wine, but this time with a grape variety called Garnacha Tintorera, not exactly the same as Garnacha that everyone else knows about. In English, this is known as Alicante Boucher, and it is also widely planted in Portugal's Alentejo region, which is the famous wine region from that country, but also does very well in these parts too. These are dense wines, dark wines, full of fruit. They aren't always that aromatic, but they do have their personality, and that is sometimes best enjoyed as an aged wine. Almansa, as a region, has been producing wine since the 16th century, and it became a DO in 1966. Like many wine regions in those parts, selling wine in bulk constituted, well, the bulk of its business, but it mostly switched to bottling, and now it has a production of about 20 million bottles a year, 6 million of which go abroad. And it's even managed to crack that tough Madrid market. I'd say in the past 5 to 10 years, I've noticed restaurants and wine shops in Madrid giving them more attention, and deservedly so. Well worth checking out. Then you have regions like DO Ucles, U-C-L-E-S. This is a recent incorporation. The designation was granted in 2006. Ucles is a historic town about an hour to the east of Madrid. Here, the winemakers who had generations and generations of experience in the tradition decided to start up their own DO. It's located, as I said, on the border of Toledo and Cuenca, and it's basically a breakaway region looking to step outside of that macro region called DO La Mancha. It also may have been an attempt to distance itself a bit from the stigma that some of the La Mancha wines have acquired over the years as being just ordinary wines, nothing special. So they were looking for something different. And they make some very good wines, once again, mainly red wines, but you also have some whites and rosés. And they also do pretty well in the Madrid market, so you can find them there. The other new kid on the block is one called DO Ribera del Júcar, which is a small enclave in eastern La Mancha. Once again, Cuenca and Albacete. This too is a breakaway region looking for its own identity. Many of the vineyards get their source of water from the Júcar River, which is what gives the region its name, though I also suspect that the bodegas were inspired by the massive success of another Ribera, Ribera del Duero. In any event, they count mainly on some traditional wine grapes, Tempranillo, as I said, Sensibel, Garnacha, Bobal, which they will also use for blending with other varieties like Petit Verdot, Cabernet, and so on. A lot of these wineries are actually co-ops looking to offer something different, and they're getting there. The exposure is still somewhat limited, but you can find them. And then there are a couple of other regions which have been around for a long time but are just beginning to break out. One is Mentrida, just to the west of Madrid in the province of Toledo. This is an old wine-producing region. Its wines were popular in Madrid and in the court of Madrid during the 16th and 17th century. They were known as being powerful red wines, alcohol-packed red wines. These were not necessarily wines for your novice wine drinker. But just like many other regions which made wines like of that characteristic, Mentrida wines have been toned down a bit, tamed a little bit, but they haven't lost their personality. And a number of these wineries here, a number of these bodegas, have obtained high recognition from the experts and the connoisseurs. They are standing out both in Spain and abroad. So their presence is increasing, though the going has been somewhat slow. I like these wines, it's just not always easy to find them. And then finally, you have a little known region called Mondéjar. Mondéjar is a large town in the province of Guadalajara. It's basically east, northeast of Madrid. It's a pretty town. Not long ago, I went to visit it in part because I had never been there. And I also want to find out just what was up with this region because over the past 2 decades, pretty much nothing has happened or very little. And I was thinking to myself that maybe there was something that I was missing, but to my dismay, I wasn't. Very little is happening there for the moment. Currently, only 2 wineries comprise this entire region. One is the cooperative, naturally, and the other is a family-run winery, which is sort of the big name there. Although when I saw it, well, it wasn't looking in its best shape. The red wine was definitely the most interesting of all. It's not bad, it's actually pretty good. I mean, these are wines that have their history. The philosopher Ortega y Gasset once called them a gift of God. But I guess poor Ortega y Gasset, when it came to drinking wine, wasn't much of an influencer. So we'll see what happens with that region. It's there, but it doesn't seem to have a clear direction that it's going in. You never know, maybe in a few years that will change. And those are the DOs. You also have what they call Vinos de Castilla, which can be any wine from the entire geographic region of Castilla-La Mancha. So it's not characteristic of any specific region. The reason for this is that it allows for more variety, more experimentation, and therefore some pretty cool results. Just about every possible grape variety is admitted, and you can produce wine the way you want, free from the restrictions that many of the DOs impose on their bodegas. In fact, many of these wine producers actually belong to a DO and then will market other wines under this label when they want to try something different. And finally, you have a handful of individual wineries, which are also their own wine region. These are the famous Vinos de Pago, but I'll give them their due attention and deserved credit in a different episode because there's a lot to talk about in that area. In the meantime, I think you have enough to work with as it is. That's about half a dozen wine regions for you to explore. Good luck and enjoy them. And that will be all for this episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, the story of Spain's wine revolution. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to send us comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want to access absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud, as they say, in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.